Just so good to have the Dale family with us. Pastor Wayne, Shauna Dale, and of course we support them as missionaries. So many of you know the Dales, and Riley, Gloria, Claire, Simon, their children. They also have with them some exchange students, Ling and David. You want to get to know these folks, and we're just so glad to have them. And yesterday was the examination council meeting for Pastor Dale, because today we are going to vote to formally ordain him. In case you're not sure exactly what that means, biblically, here's what it means. What it means is that a church formally and publicly acknowledges that God has called a man to the ministry, and that man is obeying that call. That's what it is. Okay? It is a simple formal acknowledgement that we endorse this man in his obedience to the obvious call to the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ in his life. And that's what we're doing today. So yesterday we just had the examination council. An examination council is a council of outside men who are not part of the church, the ordaining church. They're from other churches. And they come and they just examine the man, his doctrine, his call to ministry. And based on their findings, they draft up a recommendation to the church. But it's up to the church to ordain or not to ordain, regardless of the recommendation. But that's what the council does. And so that's what we did yesterday. And it just went really well. Pastor Dave Little was the moderator, just does so well at that, at keeping this real and practical. This is ministry. And just so such a blessing to have him do that. Also, we had several pastors. One was Pastor Jay Fisher. Well, he brought one of his key deacons, who is Eric Jansen. That's our own Becca Brown's dad. He was part of the council. He was the clerk. And it was just a blessing to see him and have him serve in that way. And you think about this. This lasted about 3.5 hours, the questioning time did, which is actually about normal. If it goes more than 4.5 hours, this is a really long exam council. If it's under 3, that's really fast. 3 is pretty normal. How'd you like to stand up in front of a panel of men, many of which who you do not know, and just answer one question after another about your beliefs and your Bible knowledge and what you would do in this situation or what you would do in that situation? And some of those situations are situations you've never faced before. How'd you like to do that? Okay. Wouldn't you rather be the one asking the questions than answering them? Yeah, most of us would. And yet it was just a blessing. It was just such a blessing. You know, the truth of the matter is, none of us knows everything. And there's just times you say, I don't know. I really don't know. I remember I was at a pastor's ordination one time, and it was towards the end. He was tired. Somebody hit him with something really deep from Isaiah, and he just said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And that was the end of that question. I said, okay, no problem. Just asking him. It was just a blessing yesterday. And so that's what we're going to do, is we're going to vote to get behind this man in his ministry. Wayne, why us? Well, Wayne Dale grew up here. He is a former member of Open Door Baptist Church. This is where he grew up. Under this ministry is where he got saved. And his ministry is church planting. He moves into churches that are in existence but need some revitalization. And as a missionary, he gets that church going again. The Lord uses him to bring that church back to his feet, and then he'll move on to another one. Well, being that's the case, he's never in a church long enough for the church to say, we want to ordain you. And so we, his home church, are ordaining him. So this is the recommendation by the council. October 12th, 2019, an ordination council convened on Saturday, October 12th, 2019, at Open Door Baptist Church in New Woodstock, New York, to examine for ordaining candidate Wayne Dale. The ordination council consisted of 13 people representing 7 churches to examine Wayne's views of Bible doctrine, his Christian experience, his call to the ministry, and his ministry experience. The council has voted unanimously to recommend that Open Door Baptist Church ordain Pastor Wayne Dale as a Baptist minister. Right? That's their recommendation. So we're going to enter into a short business meeting here. If you're a member of Open Door Baptist Church, can I entertain a motion to formally ordain Pastor Wayne Dale to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ed, Lori makes the motion. Can I get support or a second to that? Okay, we got Steve Whiten. All in favor of ordaining Pastor Dale, please raise your right hand if you're a member. Okay. All opposed, also raise your right hand if you're a member. Okay. Those in favor, carry. So the motion carries, and we will ordain Pastor Dale. Meeting adjourned. All right. You say, where does this happen in Scripture? If you want to see this in action, take a look at Acts chapter 2. I read a portion of this section for you this morning. And this is to you, Open Door Baptist Church. You're about to formally, and publicly, and officially say, we endorse this man. We recognize his call, and we believe he is obeying that call, and so we're backing him. That's what you're about to do. This happened in Scripture. It's where we get this. It happened in a church in the city of Antioch. You can see this in the book of Acts, how this played out. Acts chapter 2, I'm in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And you see in verse 1, it says, now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay. So you have this church that is thriving and growing, and you have these men who are just listed serving in this church. And then it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So what they did is they formally, publicly endorsed the Holy Spirit's call in these men's lives. They recognized it and they backed it. You're about to do that. Now listen, Open Door, anytime you endorse a man to the ministry like this, okay, what do you see here? Well, verse 2, it says, as they ministered. Who's the they? Is it the people of the church or is it just these men in particular? It's both. As they all ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit then spoke to the church and said, separate them. What does that tell you? Open Door, when you endorse a man to the ministry, number one, you've got to already be ministering with him to begin with. To some degree. You got to see this. This is why typically churches endorse and ordain their own. Why they do that, okay? Church has a pastor, and after a fashion, they endorse their pastor. Why? They've ministered with him. They worked alongside with him. They see it firsthand. Well, you saw this years ago when Pastor Dale was a member here in this church. You continued to minister alongside with him, and you put your stamp of approval on he and Shauna's ministry as church planters out west in Arizona. You backed them on that and brought them on for support. So you got to be ministering with somebody to begin with. That's why the council's only making a recommendation. Most of the council members didn't know Pastor Dale. Right? Many of you do. But then it says in verse 2, as the Holy Spirit speaking says, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. See, secondly, when you endorse a man in ministry, you set him apart to do what God calls him to do. Not necessarily what you always want him to do. In fact, it may not even necessarily be what he wants to do. I can tell you that. I thought I was going to die in Arizona. I'm not leaving this state. This is my home. New York. Who's this guy Riggs calling me from New York? And why did Pastor Dave Little give him my name? Because there was no way I'm going to go out there and serve in that concrete jungle. Because yeah? That's what every Westerner thinks of New York. See? But this is where God had me to be. Well, now that I'm here, I want to be here. But you got to remember, when you set a man apart, you're setting him apart to do what God calls him to do. This is the Holy Spirit leading here. This is God's will be done, not ours. Not even necessarily the candidates. But when he's following the Lord and it's obvious, he's going to go wherever God leads, right? And you're backing him in this. And then in verse 3, it says, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. We're literally going to do that with Pastor Dale. The laying on of hands is just a picture, a symbol that this church gets behind him. So Pastor Paul and the deacons will come up here. We'll lay hands on Pastor Dale. We'll also pray for him. You know what we haven't done? We didn't fast. That's not popular anymore. You know, we could have done that. What would you? How many of you members of Open Door, if I had said, okay, we're gonna vote to ordain Pastor Dale on Sunday, so let's all fast on Saturday. Would you have gone for that? See, I don't think you would have either. I don't trust you to do that. But what if, and this is what we should have done, and maybe I'll keep this in mind next time, because I got a feeling we're going to be doing this again one day. Maybe I should have said, since we're going to ordain Pastor Dale at the morning service, why don't everybody skip breakfast? Don't eat breakfast Sunday morning. When you normally would have eaten, take that time to just pray. Take that time to just pray for Pastor, for his family, for our church, for the ministry, for what we're doing and the seriousness of it all. That's what we probably should have done. We'll keep that in mind in the future. But that's what they did. They fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and then notice what they did. They sent them away, it says in verse 3. Listen, when you endorse a man's ministry, when you endorse his call to follow God wherever God happens to lead, then you got to be willing to send him away someday. See, that's the hard part, especially when it's one of your own. You bring them up, you're ordaining them, and you're so glad to have them, and then one day God calls them somewhere else. You got to let them go. That's hard. That's not easy. It needs to be. It's what it is to follow the Lord. It's his will be done. And so they sent them away. We take joy in the fact, folks, that knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior means we have eternity to fellowship and glory in the things done for him right here and now. So we look forward to the future, but in the present, sometimes we just got to say goodbye until next time. But we're back in you. We're with each other in spirit, as the Apostle Paul often referred to. And then in verse 4, says, so, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Did you notice something there? See, in verse 3, it says, they, the church at Antioch, sent these men. In verse 4, it says, the Holy Spirit sent these men. What does that tell you, Open Door Baptist Church? What it means is when you endorse a man to the ministry, you must be in unison with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we pray about this. That's why we started this process back in May. That's why we prayed then, voted to proceed with this. That's why we've been praying on Wednesday nights for this event, for the Dale family. That's why hopefully you've been praying nonstop and continuously. We want to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We want to be in fellowship with him so that we do his will and not our own. Got to be in unison with the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what I trust we are doing today. Amen. You keep that in mind as we continue this service and future services. And as I said, we'll probably be doing this again one day. I'm going to ask Jason to come. Take the song of the month out of the front of your hymnal. He's going to lead us in this, and then we're going to have a special music.
Please, will you stand with me again? Join me in singing to the Lord this morning. We were given that we
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Well, for many years, I've been Wayne Dale's friend, but Pastor Dave Little was his pastor. And then for a while, he was his president at Baptist Church Planters Mission Agency, so I think it's only appropriate that Pastor Dave Little bring the charge to our candidate. Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it was an honor to be given this responsibility, and thank you, Pastor, and Pastor Wayne. Before I start, I would like to thank Jerry and Lolite Nelly for adopting Wayne. Amen. And loving him, raising him, and having it possible that God would allow this day to happen. Behind every one of us is a parent, people that cared about us, loved us, and made it possible. So to you, Jerry, thank you. The call of God to full-time ministry is experienced by those that God selects, and only God can call. It is more than a willingness to serve. For all of us that are saved, realize it is our reasonable service to give our lives to do the work of the ministry. It is more than a job, and some people call it a vocation. I don't like the word. I like it what God used when he talked about people in ministry, and he used the word call. Because they're more than, it's more than a job. It's more than selecting something to do. It's most often something you would never select to do, but God calls you into it. He almost forces you to do it. And we'll talk about how that happens. We see this call in the New Testament, where in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, Jesus gives gifts to the church. And those gifts to the church are apostles, prophets, evangelists, which I see as missionaries, and pastor teachers. There, it doesn't say these are gifted men. He says that these are gifts to the church. In 1 Timothy 1:6, Paul, Timothy is reminded by Paul to stir up the gift that was given to him by the laying on of hands, this call. Pastor referred to this call of Barnabas and Paul in his text. Paul himself in Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So he sensed that call. The disciples were called to follow Jesus, and they left all and followed him, according to the text. Those who are called do not accept the call because they can't do anything else. You wouldn't want to pastor who the only thing he possibly was good at was pastoring, because he may not be even too good at that, as some are more capable than others. It's not that he can't do anything else. Actually, most pastors I've known are capable of doing lots of other things, but they would be disobedient to God not to accept and fulfill the call of God. I went through a burnout, well, probably two or three times in my ministry, but one of them was at Hornell after I left here, and I got down there and started a new ministry of a church that was 100 years old and was building a home. That was my first experience with high blood pressure and pills, and I got to the place where I did not want to do ministry anymore. I couldn't stand the word cancer one more time. I couldn't hardly think of preparing another message. And I went through a most frightful time, because I knew if I did not remain a pastor, I would be disobeying God. And I knew if I left the church, I would be disappointing people. And I nearly panicked because of the seriousness of the call of God. Well, I'll tell you in another time how I got through that, but I survived it by God's grace, and I didn't have to disobey God. And my goal, and I would want it to be your goal, Pastor Wayne, is the goal that Jesus fulfilled when he said in John 17, I have finished the work you have given me to do. Fulfilling this call will bring great blessing and reward. But you have to fulfill the call first. We would often like to see the fruit of our work and hear the accolades of what happened, but you have to live a long time first. You have to serve people a long time. Kathy and I have had the experience of being in strange places and have somebody run up to us and say, aren't you Pastor Little? Yeah, why? Well, I was at this program, or I was at this camp, or I was here, and I loved every minute of it. And you say, okay, good. Don't know who you are, but I'm glad you received a blessing. But you have to serve first if you're going to have the work be finished. Now, how does somebody know the call of God? This is not to Wayne, but to you, but just so we spent a lot of time yesterday in the examination on this issue, the call. Because I'm convinced there are men in this church and women who, if examined doctrinally, could answer the questions. But you're not called. So we wanted to determine, is he really called? First of all, the Bible says, if you have the call, God will give you the desire for it. If he who desires the office of a bishop, a pastor, desires a good thing. So God creates a desire that I don't long to be that, but there's this desire welling up in me. In the Old Testament, it was called a burden. There was a burden that burned in the hearts of the prophets. Jeremiah said very clearly in 29, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was very weary with forbearing. I could not stay or keep quiet. So that's that call, that work of God in the heart of a person. As Pastor mentioned, the laying out of hands of Timothy to Paul, and as they went out, they laid hands on them. And to this church, the laying out of hands doesn't give the one called a special power, but it rather recognizes God's call of their life. This is why in the ordination, the call to me is the most critical part. If somebody tells me, I can ask about 5 or 6 questions, I'm not being smart here, but you can ask about 5 or 6 different key questions and find out if a man would pass doctrinally. Does he take a dispensational approach to Scripture? That answers multitude of questions. And where his stand is on ecclesiology, and is he more Arminian or Calvinism? That'll tell me scores of things. But the call has to be determined by watching a man and seeing him and hearing him and listening to him, watching him work. A man in one of the churches I pastored, I won't say which one, asked me to go out to breakfast with him one morning. And he said, I think the Lord is calling me into ministry. I said, why do you think that? He said, I think it would be cool just to work with Christians. I goes, you're blind as a bat. Because it ain't cool to work with Christians. It can be a blessing, but it can be a curse. I said, you're not called. And plus, nobody in the church I pastored had ever said, I think that man ought to go in ministry. But I remember when you would say to Wayne, have you ever thought about going into ministry? Why? Because he was actively serving among you. My wife remembers when he participated in the teen musicals. And I don't know what part you played, but anyhow, he was around and you observed them. This church, Pastor Wayne, has witnessed your life. From a time of a teenager to attending Bible college, serving in the medical field, growing in your faith, always wanting to be involved and serve someplace. I personally watched you be an associate missionary, and sometimes that was hard. You had different ideas than the lead, and you would come to me and say, you know, I don't think I would do it that way. And remember what I would say to you? You're not the boss. Do it his way. But you never quit. Lots of men would have said, I'm going to go do my own thing. You never quit. You stayed under, submitted, and then today the Lord gave you the full responsibility. You have been examined, and it has been determined that you are called of God. Now, what do you do? Well, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3 tells you very clearly, be shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being example to the flock. You've got to feed and tend and rule them. No shepherd is a dictator. Paul and I make hay on a sheep farm. After observing those sheep all this summer, it was no compliment that God called us sheep. They run here and they run there and they hear a truck coming and they think it's immediately feed, so they run over to the truck and then we don't stop. So then there's no feed. They're just kind of dumb animals. So you have the work of taking care of dumb people. I can't believe they're agreeing with it. I thought they would take offense at that. We're all dumb. But by the Holy Spirit's wisdom, we do everything wrong. And then you call the pastor and say, fix it. After you messed your marriage up, messed your kids up, messed your job up, and then you want us to have the magic wand and fix it. But yet the Bible says, feed them. Give them the food they need. I have this theory that the devil couldn't kill the church, so he killed the preacher. And one of the ways he did it is the people wanted to be fed so much that it just about ruined him to feed them that much. And one of the things I want to charge you with, Wayne, is feed the people, but don't overfeed them. Give them something until they understand it and make sure they know how to use it. And tend them. You can't drive them. You lead them. And the Bible says here very clearly, the way you lead them is you walk yourself. You have to be out in front. I like John Maxwell's statement, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following you, you're just out for a walk. When you lead, see who's following you. Make sure there's people behind you, around you. Psalm 23 tells us what we're supposed to do to feed them. Put them in lush pastures and give them quiet places to rest. Watching over them means that you're alert to their needs. I've learned over the years, you can't make anybody do anything, but you can show them the way. And if they are getting close to the edge, you can pull them aside and say, I think you're in a dangerous place, and warn them. But you can't do any of that unless you first love them. Because if we did ministry only out of obligation, they'll read it just like that. But if you do it out of love for them, I have found that you can tell people amazing things if they believe you love them. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15 has been a verse that I've often thought about in ministry. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, Uphold the weak and be patient with all. You got all kinds of different people you're going to serve. Some are unruly. You want to jerk the bit all the time to keep them controlled. But you have to work with them. You have to hate the faint-hearted, the ones that are always wanting to give up. And then you got the weak, the ones that are laboring so hard that they're wore out. Just be patient with them all. They're all different. And they're not all going to do what you want them to do. I believe that this is, when the Bible tells us to exhort one another, he doesn't say become a victor. He's saying take the next step toward victory. Just help people take the right step, the next step, just one step. And let them learn how good that is. Feed them. Watch over them. Love them. Observe them. I would put in capital letters, know your sheep, care for your sheep, and remember their sheep. And then finally, to you personally, Acts 20:28, Paul said, keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I emphasize what Paul said, watch over yourself. There are three temptations that will cause you to fall. And one is power. We all want power. When you have power, you feel, I'm in control. Why would a pastor think he has power? Because people laud on him and think, you know, other than the ones that don't like you, everybody else does like you, hopefully. And they'll say, oh, you're so great, man. By the way, don't take that seriously. I found that the people that laud you the first are the ones that will stab you in the end. It's almost always been true. But don't take too seriously their adoration, because power will kill you. Money and the love of it will kill you. Paul said, be not greedy of filthy money. Filthy money is getting money in ways that are not legitimate. And whether you or I understand it or not, money can drive us. Now, you said yesterday, and I agree with you, none of us do this for the money. But there's things that pastors can do, like not dealing with a real problem over somebody that has funds, because it would be might hurt the church and not have be the advantage of the church. To me, that's for filthy money. That's worrying about money over morals. I've known pastors that would do any funeral because they know they're going to get some money out of it, maybe. Don't bank on that, because some of them don't pay. And my policy was, if you're in the church or you already paid me, you don't need to pay me anymore. But people do, and that's fine. But just, you haven't lived for money, don't let it become a problem. And then finally, sex. A lot of men that fall out of ministry because they got an illicit relationship with another woman. And it's real easy to do. It's real easy to do, because women in the church, I think it's a God-given thing out of Genesis, that though they don't want to rule over other people, they inside of them, one of the curses is they want to rule over, but they also want to give attention to those who do lead. And they honor those who lead. And women will often say to pastors, oh, you know, you're so wonderful. I wish my husband was just like you. Don't take that seriously. Be really, really careful. And you mentioned this yesterday because you were asked about this. But there are a lot of men that have been destroyed through this. And it can happen. So when Paul says, keep watch over yourself, your first job is you. Your second job is the sheep. This commission could be summarized like Solomon summarized his book. The end of the whole thing is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. And then Jesus added, your neighbor as yourself. Wayne, I charge you to keep the flock and to keep yourself. And I'd like to refer to, finally, John 17, when it says how Jesus lived his life in that prayer. He looked ahead all the time he was on earth to the glory, not here, but ahead. He comes to the Father and says, Father, I finished the work, but I look for the glory that's going to be back with you. Let your glory be there and not here. Secondly, do as Jesus did. Give the word to those the Father has given. I have given them the word, disciples. Thirdly, in that passage, Jesus prayed that they would be delivered from evil and survive while on earth. And then he said, I have finished the work. I've done everything I can do. I hope when you finish your life, you can say, I have done what the Lord told me to do, and I finished it. Amen.
Here that I confess my worth.
Thank you, Shauna. I'm going to ask Pastor Dale, the deacons, Pastor Paul, to make their way up to the front at this time if they would. You can trust them. All right, such a joy to come to this point and just get behind this church. We men up here are representatives of you, Open Door Baptist Church, and please keep in mind, Pastor Dale is a representative of you as well. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we first of all thank you. Thank you for bringing this man out of an environment where he could have been easily led into false beliefs, Buddhism, other things. Bringing him here to a family where he was taught the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving this man for all eternity. Father, thank you for providing his wife to minister alongside with him. We thank you for this team committed to each other for as long as they both shall live to do your will. Thank you for their children, this family. Now, Father, as I pray for them, I ask a few things. Lord, I ask that you will just, first of all, protect him and his wife from Satan's darts and plans and ploys. Lord, I ask that you will bring obvious blessing in his endeavors, his pursuits, and his sometimes very grueling task of doing your will in the name of the gospel. Lord, give him an endurance that can only come from the Holy Spirit, please. Give him an evident filling of the Holy Spirit as he walks day in and day out. Father, may he be a blessing and an instrument of your hands to those people in Scottsdale, Arizona. May he see fruit. May people come to know Christ, and may people be discipled and grow in Christ, that they may in turn do the same for somebody else because of Pastor Wayne's efforts. Lord, I pray for his children, that you open their eyes and hearts to the obvious example set before them in their mom and dad. May they follow suit and follow Christ as they see their dad do. Lord, finally, I pray for us at Open Door Baptist Church. Do not allow us, Lord, to drop our guard and keep watch care over our brother. Lord, encourage us to constantly get behind our missionary, our own. Lord, keep us faithful to be there for him and with him. And Lord, use us creatively to do whatever we can do to help further his ministry as he just chases after you. Father, I praise you for the calling of Jesus Christ. I thank you for eternity. I thank you for our salvation. I thank you for his spilled blood and his resurrected body that we can cling to forever. In Christ's name, amen.